Father, we come to you collectively this morning as we have just sung, "Oh, how we need you." Spirit of God, fill this place, fill us, move amongst those watching on Facebook Live. Spirit of God, we want to give you complete freedom to move. We're here to worship you, our Heavenly Father. You who are seated on the throne, we are here to worship you, and we cry, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy are you, Jesus, to receive our praise and honor and glory." Spirit of God, come. Come and move among us, among those in the classes on the other side, among churches in our community, in this town, in the region around us. Holy Spirit of God, move among us, we pray. For the glory of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit, move among us, I pray. Have your own way, Lord. Have your own way. I pray in the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Let me say a couple of things, friends, before we look at Scripture. Charles mentioned that we're going to have a first. We're going to have ourselves a tank right here, and we're going to baptize some folks right here next week. And so if you want to be part of that, if you have just decided it's time, or you have recently committed your life to Christ, we would love to invite you to do that. We're going to baptize some friends, and we would baptize others if you let us know you want to be baptized. I also want to say this. Bob Brown wanted you to know, and his daughter Trista wanted you to know that Elijah, Bob's son-in-law, who has been in the hospital for over 2 months, is out of ICU, and they say, "Thank you for your prayers." Thank you, friends, for your prayers. Dick Pavlaki is still in the hospital. Please continue to pray for him. You saw the moons last week, some of you. Please continue to pray for Daryl and Janet. They're still going through the radiation. And there's lots of names on your prayer focus. We want to invite you to remember them always, those that have lost loved ones, those that are battling all these things. And so thank you for praying. Please continue to do so. If you've got your Bible, we're going back to Romans 10 today. Going back to Romans 10, we haven't been in Romans for a while, but I said a long time ago I wanted to take us through that book. And so we're going back to Romans 10. And really, there's a lot in Romans that's a little hard to understand, okay? Even for those of us that read it a lot and study it, it's a little hard to understand. But in Romans chapter 10, there's three things I want us to really, really get a hold of today. And I'll touch on these three things. We don't have time for the whole chapter, but we're going to touch on the very first verses, a couple in the middle, and a couple at the end. But here's what Paul says in Romans chapter 10. And this is what I really want us to understand. He says, "My heart's desire and prayer for Israel is that they would be saved." That's point number one. And in 9 and 10, we all should know Romans 9 and 10. We really should. 9, 10, and 13, those are verses we should know by heart. When he gets part way through the chapter, he reminds them and us how to be saved. And then when we get to the latter part of the chapter, he reminds and challenges the church. It is by the church that the voice of God and the decrees of Jesus will go forth. And so there's three points in Romans chapter 10 that I want us to see today, and I want to reiterate the importance of them. So if you've got your Bible, please open it up to Romans chapter 10. I'm reading from the New King James Version. Yours might be a little different, but I think you can follow along if you have your Bible. It will be on the big screen. And so let's take a look at some of these verses together and see how they challenge us and move us to respond accordingly today. Romans 10:1. Brethren, Paul writes, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved. Okay, you know the setting. This is a bunch of years. Jesus has already been here. He has already gone to the cross. He has died for the sin of the people, the Jewish people, the Gentile people. He is raised again from the dead. We're a bunch of years down the road. And Paul, excuse me, is keenly aware that as a nation, they have rejected him. And so he has a burden, if you will. And he writes it out here. My heart's desire, my prayer is for these people, Israel, to be saved. And I wonder sometimes, is the church of Jesus today, do we have the same burden? Do we have the same burden for our communities? We come from Bertha and Pillager and Leader and Lincoln and Staples and Motley and all around us. Do we have this same kind of burden as Paul had? He had a burden for the Jewish people because the Messiah had been here. And as a nation, they missed it. That's why he's saying what he's saying. He wouldn't have said that if they didn't miss it. And I wonder, friends, do we have that kind of burden? Is my heart's desire that my neighbors, my family, my friends, my coworkers, Motleyites, will be saved? That's what Paul said. My heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they would be saved. Now listen to what he says. And I want us to draw some comparisons here from their time to ours. Listen to what he says in the next couple of verses. He's speaking about Israel. For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, are seeking to establish their own righteousness. Do you see what he's saying? They were trying to work their way into the righteousness, into the graces of God. And I wonder, can we draw some parallels today? Going through the mechanics of religion. Going through the mechanics. That's why I said last week, I long for the Holy Spirit of God to move in us. Amen? I don't want to just be mechanical in my faith or us to be mechanical in our religion. I want the Holy Spirit of God to move us as we sing, as we pray, as we worship, as we fellowship with people outside, as we fellowship with people inside. I long for the Spirit of God to move us, and the Spirit of God is only going to move in us when we have been born from the Son of God. Amen? Now, Paul said of the people, they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. Do you see the disconnect? Mechanics versus the Spirit moving. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted to the righteousness of God. And then he says, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. They were still going through the religious rituals of the day, hoping to gain their righteousness from that. Are you still with me, friends? This ain't too deep for us, is it? He gets a lot deeper in this chapter. But this is important. He's talking, on one hand, these people have a zeal for God. And the other hand, he's saying, my heart's desire and prayer for them is that they would be saved. A zeal for God and yet unsaved. Do you see what he's talking about? A zeal for God and yet unsaved. That's a serious matter. That's why he says here what he said in the first chapter. That's why I've entitled Our Heart's Desire. What is our heart's desire in the church in the 21st century? Is it just to gain? Is it just to pad my own wallet? Is it just to get this and that and the other thing and march on through life and hope at the end of it I'm good to go? Or is our heart's desire like Paul's and to bring all kind of folks with us to glory? That's what our heart's desire should be. A burden for the lost, like his heart was burdened for the Jewish people. I mentioned at our annual meeting, some of you were there a month or so ago, whenever we did that, the mission statement of Free Methodist Church of the USA. It's actually in your bulletin. Fairly easy to see, memorize, and understand. Simply stated, love God, love people, and make disciples. And anyway, the reason I mentioned that during the annual meeting, because it is my desire and my longing by the Spirit's leading that somehow we, our board, our leadership, and all the rest of us figure out in 2022 how to flesh that out and how to live that out, to love God more, to love our neighbors more, and to make disciples. That's my goal. That's my desire. That's our longing. That's actually the mission of the church. And so when I read this from Paul, and I know that around him are people of the Jewish nationality that have heard about the Messiah. They have probably even seen the crucifixion. They have heard about the resurrection, and they're still lost. And I wonder about society today. And I wonder if we care, if we in the church, if we care about that situation. Personally, I think I mentioned this last week. My heart's desire and prayer for Motley and this whole region where God has placed us, my heart's desire is that they would be saved, and I pray for that every day. I pray for people around us every day, some by name, some by factory, some by hospital, some by school, some by our police department, fire department, city council. I pray for them every day. My heart's desire and prayer for this region where God put us is that we would be saved. I don't care if they're right at the moment they're hung up on drugs or hung up on alcohol or hung up on pornography or hung up on gambling or hung up on immoral sex or liars or cheaters or bar owners or church people. My heart's desire is that these communities would be saved. And my prayer is that the church would have the same heart. I think that's why Paul wrote it. I think that's why he suggested that maybe if my heart was burdened for the Jewish people, maybe others in the church would be burdened also. Maybe that we would be burdened and pray and invite them to Christ, invite them to church, pray for them. Maybe our hearts collectively would be burdened and our longing and our desire for our region would be saved. Now, that's point number one. Point number two, Paul tells us, and I'm going to jump to verse 9. I love these verses. How to be saved. There's some verses in there between that I didn't read. They're good. You should read them. But I want to keep it simple, and I want to get it all done today, so I'm jumping to 9. Here's what he says, and I know that a lot of you have memorized this from a long time ago. Good for you. These are great verses. We can pull these verses out of memory and use them on the street at any moment. Amen? It's good for us to memorize scriptures. Hello? How are we going to know how to tell somebody what's in the Word of God if we don't know what's there ourselves? And so verses like Romans 10, 9, and 10, and 13 are so easy and so good and so necessary, you can use them anywhere, anytime. Here's what he said. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Hallelujah. Is that not good? You see, friends, I've mentioned to us before, a lot of folks are going to miss heaven by 18 inches. I'm not saying that to be judgmental. That's what the Word of God says. Not verbatim, but you read it all, that's what it says. A lot of folks are going to miss heaven by 18 inches. They've got a head knowledge about God, and they did nothing about it here. They're going to miss heaven by 18 inches. Paul is reminding us, and he just got done saying it. The Jewish folks, they've got a zeal for God, and yet they're lost yet because they have missed the righteousness of God. They have missed the Son. They have missed Jesus. And so he reminds us here in the simplicity and the beauty of verse 9 that if we will confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, in other words, we will say, Jesus is Lord, I need you, I confess, I repent for you, repent to you, I confess you are Lord, and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, we will be saved. It's got to move from a head knowledge to the heart to be saved. Amen? And if it never happens, we will miss eternity forever by 18 inches from here to here. That's what he's talking about. That if you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And here's what he says. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness. It's a heart matter. Are you with me, friends? You're looking a little drowsy. This is good stuff. It's a heart matter. He showed us the difference of the mechanics of religion in the first four verses. That's not what he's talking about. It's a heart matter. Is my heart right with God? Have I been born of God because I've moved the head knowledge? I've heard about God. I've read about God. Have I applied it to my heart? Have I confessed Christ as Lord? That's when Paul says, you and I and they will be saved. Oh, this is good stuff. Amen. I'm only about halfway through the first page of my notes, and it's 9:45 already, and I got 3 pages to go. Here's what he said. Let's go on. Let's get to where we can get. I'll read 10 again. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Let me just say, we're going to baptize a couple of young folks next week that I know of. And with their mouth, they will confess to you that Jesus is Lord. Amen? Amen. Amen. They're a little nervous about that. Am I right? A little? But you can do it. You can do it. And anybody else can do it when we have invited Christ into our life and we've been born of God. It's a brand new day. We are off the broad road that leads to destruction and we are on the narrow road that leads to life. There is something to celebrate. Hallelujah. And so there will be people here next week that confess with their mouth that Jesus is Lord. And then we'll dip into the tank. Okay, so that's what he's talking about when he says, with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes on him, that's the Son who God has sent, will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. Isn't that good? The Lord is rich in his mercy and grace. Whoever, oh, I love the next verse. Oh, I love the next verse. I was having a conversation with my dad's brother, whom I mentioned to you. I went all the way to Boise, did his funeral last fall. I love my uncle. And he was in the Seventh-day Adventist Church for 40 years, pastored there for 40 years. And we're having this discussion about things, you might imagine. And I reminded Uncle about that verse. I wasn't trying to tell him what to do. I was just trying to remind him of the simplicity of the gospel. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Hallelujah. It's not I worked my way in religion. Do you see the verse? Whoever, Jew, Gentile, yes, past, pedophile, or murderer, or drug addict, or sexually immoral, or liar, whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I say hallelujah. Amen? We all should know that verse. We all should. We all should know Romans 10, 9, 10, and 13. So we encounter somebody and we simply tell them our story. We simply say, can I pray for you? We simply hand them a tract or ask if we can give them a Bible. Whatever it is we do. And they say to us, like the crowd said to Peter, we looked at it from Acts chapter 2 last week. What must I do to be saved? Take them right there. Amen? It's that simple. For with the mouth we confess him as Lord, and the heart we believe. We should know those verses. We should know those so we could use those at a moment's notice wherever we're at. Oh, people of God, I got a lot of skipping to do here. Let me skip to verse 14. Because this is the application for the church. Paul's talked about, I mentioned, he has a burden for the lost, and I hope that we do too. Friends, if you haven't been born of God, there's nothing more important. Eternity depends on what you do with Jesus. I'm not talking about, I believe in God. You say, Jim, I believe in God. That's wonderful. Have you been born of God? Have you called upon the name of Christ? Have you repented of sin? Because if you have not, you're still on the broad road, and Jesus said the broad road leads to destruction. Nothing more important that you get squared away with God through faith in Christ. It's not a religion. It's not a denomination. It's what the Bible says. We must be born again. And when we are part of his church. And Paul says this to the church. Yes to Jim, yes to Charles, yes to Dale, yes to Jennifer, yes to people that have been ordained, but to the church. Paul says, how then shall they call on him whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? Now, before you get any preconceived notions, okay, Jim, I seen it. You just read it. I'm off the hook. You're on the hook. I'm not, because it said preacher. When you look closely at the meaning of that word, the Greek word is, I don't know if I can say this or not, Charles or Jennifer or somebody more, or anybody else more in tune with Greek. The word for preach is kyrisso, K-E-R-Y-S-S-O. That's the Greek word for preach. So lest we think, okay, Jim, it says you preachers, you're the responsible ones. The word for the Greek there is kyrisso, and it means to be a herald. Are you still with me, friends? It means to be a herald, to be one that announces. The Bible Knowledge Commentary says this way, the Greek word there for preach is kyrisso, meaning to be a herald, to announce. It is not limited to proclamation from the pulpit. Carrying God's gracious offer involves human beings whom God has brought to himself and then uses as heralds. Amen. Are you hearing me? How will anyone believe on him, Paul said, whom they have not heard? How shall they believe in him who they have not heard? Friends, 60 to 70% of Americans, and in some cases, Northeast, Northwest, it's worse, 60 to 70% are no longer in church. They're not going to hear from the pulpit. Are you with me? It's the people that you and I encounter on a daily basis out there. On the factory, on the farm, in the workplace, in the grocery store, getting a haircut, whatever it is. 60 to 70% are not in church anymore. And in some cases, in some pockets around America, it's 80 to 90% are no longer in church. They need a herald. And I don't mean a herald with a, that's his first name. I mean they need somebody that's going to be a herald for the good news of Jesus. Because they're not going to hear it in the church house because they're not coming to the church house. They need a herald. They need an announcer. They need you and I in everyday living out there to tell them there's good news and his name is Jesus. And Paul said it very, very simply, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Paul said it very simply. And you will encounter people that I never do. You will encounter people that Charles never does. We will encounter people at work and in your neighborhood and in wherever else that need a herald. And Paul reminds the church here, how then shall they call upon him whom they have never believed or never heard? They need a herald. They need someone to tell them the good news. Let me press on because time has pressed on. I need to wrap up already. If we can simply memorize these three verses, friends, you've got the whole of the gospel wrapped up. That's enough in your toolbox to tell somebody about Jesus. These three verses, 9, 10, 13. And as you read this chapter, you understand the first part, you understand the last part, but Romans 10, 9 and 10 and 13 are enough to start with to tell somebody, to be the herald, to be that person that God can use to tell them the good news. Let me close with this because time is gone and I want to sing together and spend more time in prayer. Paul said, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved. There was a time when he had to shake the dust off his feet, so to speak, and move on to the Gentiles. If you've read Acts, you know what I'm talking about. But that didn't change his heart. And it shouldn't change the heart of the church. Somebody may reject you. You may be embarrassed to tell somebody, your coworker or whatever, can I pray for you? Can I tell you about Christ? Can I give you a Bible? Can I give you a tract? But our heart's desire, if we've been born of God, friends, should be as Paul's was, that they would be saved. If they reject Jesus, that is on them on Judgment Day. But my longing, my heart, my prayer for the church is that we will be like Paul and have the heart like Paul. My heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they would be saved. And my prayer is that our heart's desire and prayer to God for our communities, yes, Israel, but he put us here. He put us here in Pillager and Bertha and Leader and Lincoln and Staples and Motley. He put us here. He put us here to be heralds, to tell them about Romans 9, 10, and 13. And I pray that we have the heart that Paul had. Oh, I pray that the heart of the church would be the same as Paul. Oh, I pray that the heart of the church would long for those still on the broad road, and we would be the heralds to tell them the good news. Praise team, come on up here. I want to sing that song to close. And so I want to tell us, friends, I want to tell us two things for us to ponder. Hell is real. We can poo-poo it, we can minimize it, we can make jokes about it, but hell is real. And if we don't get off the broad road that leads to destruction and get on the narrow that leads to life through what Paul just said there in verses 9 and 10, we are going to go to hell. Jim, you say, I don't like to hear that and I don't buy it. Well, let me just invite you to read the word again, because Jesus speaks more about that than he does heaven. Hell is real. And the only way we're going to get off the broad road is not religion. It's not church attendance. It's not even that I've been dunked in the tank. It's that I have confessed Christ with my mouth and I have believed in my heart that God raised him from the dead. That is when we are saved. And if you haven't got there, friends, please don't delay. I would simply ask what the Spirit asked others in our midst over the last months and years. What are you waiting for? What are you waiting for? Surrender to the Lordship of Christ today and get off the broad road and get onto the narrow. And for us, the church, will we be aware? Will we be aware of those around us that haven't yet heard about Jesus? Will we be aware of those yet around us? Sometimes they're sitting in the church house yet that haven't responded to Jesus. Will we be aware, and will we take the message as Paul said? How are they going to hear if we don't tell them? They need a herald. They need us to remind them the beauty of Romans 10, 9, 10, and 13. Will we commit to be that herald? Friends, while we're singing this song, I want to invite us to stand now. We're going to sing this song. And first and foremost, if you're not sure you're born of God, you've been to church, you believe in God, but you're not sure you've been born of God, friends, would you do it today by faith? Would you put your faith in Christ? We'll pray with you. Don't be embarrassed. Don't stay in the chair if God's Spirit is pressing on you. Be saved today. Charles will pray with you. Dale will pray with you. I will pray with you. Or you can simply come to the altar. You can stand right there where you're at. But the Bible says you've got to confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. If you've never done that, and God's Spirit is urging you today, please do not delay. While we're singing this song, get right with God through what Paul said in those verses. Let's sing together. Let's bow for prayer. Are you here this morning? You're still wondering, am I really right with God? Have I put my faith in the Son of God? Are you here this morning and you want to give your life? You want to confess with your mouth and believe in your heart the Lord Jesus and that God raised him from the dead? Friends, if that's you this morning, slip your hand up. Slip your hand up. Thank you. Thank you. Let me pray with you and for us as we close. Father, we need you. Sometimes our minds are confused. The enemy of our souls is real, and he wants our minds confused. Sometimes we're not sure, Father, if you are even real. Sometimes we wrestle. There's wrestling here even today. Wondering, are you even real? Father, I pray in the name of Jesus, by the power of the blood of Jesus, that those kind of thoughts coming from the enemy would be gone from every mind and every heart here this morning. Those thoughts of, I don't need you, I don't even believe in you. I pray, Father, that those thoughts would be gone in Jesus' name. Spirit of God, touch hearts. Connect spirit to spirit. Jesus is the one that said, unless we are born of water and the Spirit, we will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Father, you've seen the hands raised today. People want to be right with you. Spirit of God, connect with their spirit in a transforming, powerful way. Help them to know they are yours. They want to confess with their mouth the Lord Jesus, and they believe in their heart that you raised Christ from the dead. Father, save them, I pray. And for others, maybe didn't raise their hand, but they're here today still wondering, where am I at in this road called life? Father, I pray that your spirit would connect with their spirit and they would be born of God. Help them to trust in Christ, the Savior, the Master, the Messiah. Help them to trust in him for salvation and be born of God and get off that broad road that leads to destruction and get on the narrow one that leads to life. Save our communities, Lord. Save our families, our friends, people that go to church that haven't been born again, Father. By the name of Jesus, save, we pray. Thank you for being with us this morning, Spirit of God. Continue to move. Continue to work. Continue to draw people to yourself. Continue to clear our minds of the clutter and help us to get right with you, O God, through faith in the Son of God, and then be led by the Spirit of God. We pray it all to the glory of God in the name of Jesus. Oh, the wonderful name of Jesus. The only name, the Bible says, under heaven, given among men, whereby men must be saved, the name of Jesus. For it's in His powerful name we pray. Amen.